Look, Matt.
Where? Oh, I see.
Wow. Oh, my.
Oh, and look over there.
Wow, is that Ooh. Culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong! Las Culturistas calling.
Hey, Frosty Girl.
Hey, Queen. You are in the Christmas spirit, I can tell.
I so am, and that's why I call you my Frosty Girl.
Yes.
That's a new thing that the readers can start saying to each other. Just be like, hey, Frosty. Like, if you want to let someone know that you think they are bedazzled that day, like, if you think they look absolutely rich, you go, hey, Frosty, who comes from riches.
What impact do you hope the Las Culturistas listeners will have? I want to empower the listeners, the readers, to create their own culture and just let it out into the world. I don't want us to sort of unilaterally.
You're saying you don't want me to be too instructive with them. Okay, fine. I take it all back.
No, I'm
Call
not
your
saying
friends
that.
Whatever the fuck you want. I don't care.
To be honest, can I be honest with my sister?
Go.
I was barely even like forming a thought and I just finished the sentence.
What is with you? What is your mental capacity?
I'm a tired and frosty girl.
Yeah, I know. Listen, Frosty Girl, you better wake the fuck up.
Well, I don't want to be a tired culture and ever at all, but especially with our guests.
You sound like you're in some sort of like tired psychosis. Like we said to stop everything. Girl, are you okay? Mama, you did have a thick week.
Look, my frosty girl, I am just so energized, activated, seeing the guests on the Zoom.
Yeah.
I just have to ramp up to the energy. Do you know what I'm saying?
Totally. Okay, so let's try to get you there. You know what I'm doing?
Don't
I'm
shame me. You're tired shaming me.
No shame. You did such incredible work this weekend. It was
so
exhausting.
I don't want to talk about work.
No, me neither. Trust me, I don't. The last thing I want to do, oh my God, get into all that?
No.
But here's the thing. Like, yes. I made sure that I was woken up for the episode by watching Christmas in the Square.
What do you think? Do you want to bring in the guests or do you want to share your initial thoughts?
I want to say my initial thought first, so to make sure that they don't step over me, because there is a real huge problem with stepping over me and what I say.
Yeah, you're right.
I thought it was fine. All right, now we should bring the guests in. Let's bring the guests in.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, we will be four acclaimed podcasters in one space.
Yes.
This isn't sort of words I'm attaching to us. This is the press. This is what the press has said.
What outlets?
The Weekly Gazette, the Post.
Yes.
And the Times Chronicle have all said this. They've all called us acclaimed. They've called us acclaimed.
Yes.
They haven't acclaimed us. They've called us acclaimed.
To call us acclaimed is to acclaim our acclaim. I love that. I love that.
And this is us acclaiming our acclaim altogether. I think this is one of our guests' 92nd appearance on the podcast.
Yes.
And the other guest's 18th.
Yes.
And I'm so happy that sort of the audience can get to know them and discover them.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because that's really what this is all about. It's like supporting young, hot talent that hosts a podcast.
I want to pull back the curtain a little bit. Mm-hmm. First, one thing happened before our guests came on the Zoom. Hot engineer Doug said, is Joel Kim Booster really coming on this Zoom? And then Anna and I, a hot executive producer, Anna and I were like, yes. And he goes, okay, we're like, are you a fan? And he goes, oh, you guys just talk about him so much. I can't believe he's going to show up. That's insane.
So to be clear, he wasn't a fan from his work. He was a fan from hearing about us. Okay, cool. To be clear.
As if he was like this imaginary friend or this like, you just, I don't know about that. Oh, that person is real?
Even though he's a little bit older than us. I would call him the little brother of the podcast.
He's a little brother.
And the little sister.
And then our other guest came on the Zoom and then she and hot executive producer Anna had a moment where they could have possibly been cousins. We won't get into it.
Just bring them the fuck in. They are the hosts of Urgent Care. Okay? It's a podcast that you can listen to.
It's a podcast. You call in with your issues. They will answer with such grace, cogency. I really can't believe this advice that they're giving some people. Beautiful.
And then good fucking luck with if you actually take their advice. Because that's not really the point. The point is more to entertain and make people laugh.
I know.
You know what I mean? That's a peek behind the curtain.
They're also wonderful comedians, writers, actors,
in their own
performers.
Right.
In their own right. But when they come together, they are Urgent Care. They're acclaimed podcasters. What do you say we bring them in?
I say yes. Everyone, please welcome into your ears the acclaimed
Joel Kim Booster and Mitra Johari.
And we figured out who to say first alphabetically.
Wow.
Hello,
guys.
Yes, hi. Welcome.
10 out of 10 opener to the podcast.
Yeah. True 10.
Would you say that is the most low energy moment of your life?
Bowen.
Mitra. Everyone stop bullying me.
Okay.
You have some shit to answer for. Wake up, Pearl.
You guys are honestly like my favorite humans out there. These humans right here, seriously. Like, I love these humans.
These humans.
These humans.
Some of the most amazing humans got together for this Zoom.
And let the queens come out.
And let the queens ball out.
It is in my literal funeral doc on Google Docs that Mitra will sing fight song at my funeral in a gorgeous ball gown.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Fight
in
song.
In a gorgeous ball gown.
What's this doc? To the best of Mitra's ability. Joel, what's
to the
this
best
doc?
Of her ability. It's just a doc I have on my computer that lists all the things I want to happen at my funeral.
Mm-hmm. Are Matt and I in it?
Yeah, you're pallbearers.
As Sluck.
But we're pallbearers as Sluck. Because this it came is, up with me and Joel because we were talking about bridal parties, and Joel was right. I have my pallbearer list.
I've stopped like ranking my friends based on who would stand up at my wedding, and I've started ranking my friends based on who would be pallbearers at my funeral. Mm-hmm.
Where are we sort of on your
You're
corpse?
At the front of the casket, babe.
Perfect.
You're at the front of the cast.
Thank you.
But I get stage time.
But she gets stage
time. Well, you know, that's what's in the program, but you don't know what's actually going to happen in terms of the room, because live theater, you know, sometimes it just is spontaneous.
People Mitra. Might ask Matt to sing is what he's saying.
They might ask me to get up there.
That's fine, but the deceased has demanded that I sing.
In a gorgeous ball gown. In a gorgeous ball
and
gown.
And it will fit.
Now, will Fight Song be a parody, or will it be the straight reading of the lyrics?
No, I will be singing Rachel Platten's Fight Song to straight the best up. Of my ability.
Could you add a key change at the end to make it sort of like a bigger
no,
moment?
I can't.
Come on.
I can confidently say I can't. Wait, were you there? Matt, weren't you there the day that I tried to sing Fight Song at the Forever Dog Studios?
It was an event.
Weren't you there the day I tried to sing Fight Song?
I made him sing like Brave that day or something like that.
Oh, yes, now I remember.
Because I was really like, this is like maybe the biggest moment of hubris in my entire life. So I was like, yeah, all right, as a joke, I'm having Fight Song. I need someone to sing, you know, I'll just sing Fight Song. Could not sing it. So bad.
You think it's going to be this sing-along sort of everyone in America can sing it because Hillary Clinton took it, but it's a hard song. Your other one was I Want to See You Go Off, which is based on I Want to See You Be Brave, another tough song to pull off vocally.
Yeah. Anyway.
But you've done it. You've done it successfully. There's... Mitra, you know the clip I'm talking about, right? Like I captured you in my old apartment trying to open a bottle of wine and singing Slay What You Want to Slay and Let the Queen Ball
go
Out.
Off. It was the Queen, Let the Queens Go Off.
Let the Queens Go Off, maybe. Honestly, I want to see
I
you
think
go
it's
off. Maybe
slay
go
what you
off
slay
was
slay
repeated.
And let the Queens drag her on a sleigh.
Let
wanna,
the Queens
I
drag
see you
her.
Go off.
Yes. Yes.
On a sleigh.
Perfect. I want to see you go
on a sleigh.
Off.
Wow, on a sleigh, that gives
on
it a whole
sleigh.
New dimension.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay,
it
artist.
Makes it a little Christmassy, honestly.
No, the whole thing is a Christmas. It's sort of like Family Stone, which is like, it's a story that takes place during Christmas, but it's not about Christmas.
Okay,
it's,
yeah,
that's
rule
sort
of culture.
That
Family Stone. Rule of culture. It's sort of like Family Stone in that it's not about Christmas. It's about Christmas.
It's not about Christmas, but it is.
Okay, we're not saying it together, so it's not actually a rule.
I just like to say it because I do a lot of rule of cultures on Mitra and I's podcast.
Care, yes.
And Mitra has asked me to stop many times.
Every time he does it, I go, pull.
Why do you think Joel does it? To make fun?
No.
No, because he listens to it and loves it.
Yeah.
It's out I of see. Love, but I still go,
and they're usually pretty good rules of culture, too.
It is usually a moment where you go, yeah, kind of. Yeah.
No, I trust Joel to look out for those things. I really do.
What, I'm going to determine the rule of culture?
No woman has ever. No woman has ever.
Set a rule of culture.
Set a rule of culture.
She wouldn't dare.
Who do you think's at home naming rules of culture? Probably Madonna. She probably thinks she knows it all.
That bitch. Stupid.
That fucking bitch.
Today on the chat, Matt said, Christine Baranski should be as big as Madonna.
I'm mad at Madonna. I'm mad at Madonna today for some reason. I was watching Christmas on the Square. I said, Christine Baranski should be as big as Madonna.
Mitra, have you seen Christmas on the Square yet?
Not yet.
You have to see it.
You have
to. I promise I'll see it.
Let's watch it right now.
You have to see at least the first 40 minutes to like really get it. And then I couldn't do it anymore after that long.
Is that the Dolly Parton
one? Did you stop?
Yeah,
Dolly Parton. I stopped.
So Barbara from Three Busy Debras is in that.
Wait,
oh my God.
To my knowledge, she has one line, but she actually, I think, has more than that. But I was sent a line of her.
I know exactly who she is. And there's a scene where they're singing about Christine Baranski and she keeps... as a comedy beat, suggesting that they rough Christine Baranski up.
Yeah.
And everyone goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carol Swarbrick. She is icon.
I honestly, when I was, because that's very early in the movie, and I honestly thought her character would be a bigger part of it because they sort of feature her in that number so much. Like, it's such a return to that woman. I'm like, oh, she'll be a character.
She's a star. She was,
I think this is a movie I will probably watch every Christmas.
Me too. Me too, Joel. It's that, you guys... Matt, Mitra has to watch it. Matt, you have to finish it because honestly, pure. It makes no sense. And then somehow in the last 10 minutes, it all comes together and it's actually really sweet.
There are some laugh out loud moments too near the end involving like pediatric brain surgeons and car accidents. And missed a lot.
Well, what's crazy is I did that thing where it's like you can't really take a movie, but you do want to know how it wraps up. So I skipped all the way to the end. Like, and when you go through on your little Apple TV, you can see the little pictures.
Wrong.
Yeah, but I went to the end and I was, I don't know, I don't want to give spoilers, but shocked by the turns it took. I was just like, oh, that one's a spirit. Didn't realize that she was a spirit. It was like this one girl character. Anyway, it went for it. I appreciate that the movie went for it. And Mitra will love it.
Yeah, Dolly Parton is experiencing homelessness in it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what you think at first.
They go there.
Yeah, they go there. It's really a comment. In a way, it sort of is. I don't know.
Because if Dolly Parton can experience homelessness, we all can.
Have you guys seen my favorite Dolly Parton movie is Joyful Noise? Have you guys seen that movie?
With Queen Latifah?
With Queen Latifah and Miss Kiki Palmer.
Oh,
It wow. is...
busiest person in the world.
Truly the busiest person in the world.
It's true. Even when she like tweets something, I'm like, how did she find the time? She's very booked.
Deeply
what
booked.
What is our favorite... end this, I don't care if you like or hate Christmas. What's our favorite Christmas culture?
Wow. Christmas culture. You've really opened it up.
I know mine, but mine is, I'm just going to do mine first because it's dumb and everyone will see it coming, but I won't lie about it. It's Mariah Carey. She just is my favorite Christmas culture. The song, the use of the word festive, the special I just watched it was.
I just watched the special too. And it is, goofy. I had a very Christmassy day and she's great. She is Christmas.
She's giving you cartoon Christmas diva, and
it's
exactly what you want from her. So that's mine. But everyone knows that I like Mariah already. So fucking boring bitch. Fucking boring bitch. Anyway.
How's this? The song Christmas Wrapping by The Waitresses. I'm pretty sophisticated, aren't I?
Can't say I know it. I have to ask you to perform it.
It's the... Bah,
go.
That's too strong because it is my favorite holiday. All this year's been a busy but don't think I have the energy to add to my... I don't know why I'm doing it British and like languid, but it's... I'm
you know what
culture.
My favorite deep culture Christmas song is Fairy Tale of New York. It's the only Christmas song that features the word faggot.
Can you do it?
Yeah. You cheap, lousy faggot.
Yes, Christmas.
Yes, Christmas.
It kind of gives me that Christmas feeling.
What if I was like, that's actually my favorite song of all time.
All right, wait, stop everything. It's time for my favorite segment. It's a surprise segment that us boys play. It's Can Mitra Say
Faggot?
All right, now we discuss, can Mitra say faggot? Joel?
She has, and she will again.
No. I can allege that Mitra has said faggot.
Wait. No, you guys, stop.
I'm just kidding.
true. We have to be careful.
You can't. No,
people
I did
get
not.
Really mad at you guys for saying that word.
People get really
they
mad.
Get
at
mad.
Us.
They get mad, but we're, yeah, they get.
But
mad.
Nobody gets mad
I
at me.
I said it.
No, but the important thing is it wasn't said by us. It was said
by Mitra.
No.
But well, guess what? I guess we can end this segment. No, she can't.
That's all right.
She shan't.
I can't. I shan't. And that's fine.
Mm-hmm. All right. What Christmas culture? Who's
Mitra needs to go.
What's your favorite?
Mitra needs to go, but she hates it.
I'm not really Christmas culture.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't care very much. I mean, I put a lot of time and effort into thoughtful presents. Boring.
You are a thoughtful gift giver.
I am a good gift giver. I like, you know what? I watched that movie 20 Feet from Stardom this year, and I like the story of that Christmas song by Darlene Love. Do you know
that? The snow's coming down. That one.
Christmas. Yeah. And then later in life, she did it on Letterman or something. Or
Yeah. Mariah ended up covering that. And I think that she paid homage in a big way.
I liked that.
I take back the waitresses. That is actually, and I think I'm sorry. I mean, it's like ended up on all these lists. That is the best. Oh no! All I want for
it's
Christmas
like
is
they're singing "Deck the Halls." That one,
right? But yeah. Like on every like list of like the best contemporary Christmas songs, "All I Want for Christmas Is You" is always number one. But number two is always "Darling Love," "Baby, Baby Please Come Home," and that it
such
is a
good one.
Christmas song.
I love that song. I like feels it like always makes me like sort of tear up. And then the story was so nice. I guess that's my favorite Christmas culture. But really, I'm kind of Grinchy.
Right.
I guess Grinch is my favorite Christmas culture.
I would say mine too.
I love Grinch.
And honestly, good for Christine Baranski for sort of crossing over with now yet another iconic Christmas character.
Christmas
because
classic.
she's iconic in this film, Christmas on the Square, and she's iconically Martha May.
Yes.
Ms. Juvier.
And then we were talking about Grinch at work the other day, and someone... This isn't funny, but we had to like convince someone that Taylor Momsen wasn't dead. She was like completely convinced that Taylor Momsen was dead. And we're like,
are you sure? Because we have a really good track record with saying people are dead that aren't. So if you want to throw her name in there.
I gaslit myself and then was like, is she? And then I looked it up. She's alive. But I was really like, did this happen?
And that's what the internet has taken away from us, really, is the ability to know, just to really just sit in the knowledge, in the ambiguity of whether or not Taylor Momsen is dead or not.
You can find out now in a pinch if someone's alive.
And
Christine
sad.
Baranski, it is sad. Christine Baranski never, this is what Aaron Jackson said in the GC today, never sells out the Dolly Parton movie. Never is like, oh God, I'm doing like this fucking thing. She like commits to it in a way that I really admire. And I'm like, I can't like roll my eyes at anything I ever do ever again.
Yeah.
You know? No.
Yeah.
No. She is like, she really is. And also she makes Mamma Mia. She makes everything she's
That's
ever done.
I was
done
about to say, I just watched Mamma Mia 2 for the first time last night. And it's like that movie, I just kept tearing up because I was like, it's just so happy and fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just
it's
feels
perfect.
So
jubilant.
Good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I really rolled my eyes at it. Beforehand, because I was like, another one that's so fucking stupid. And then my sister finally made me watch it, and the whole time I was like, it's so good. Everyone was having so much fun
when they were like all coming in on the ship singing Dancing Queen.
Beautiful. Oh my God.
I wept.
I was crying.
I'm a triumph crier. I don't cry when things that are sad happen. I cry when like they rescue him in The Martian.
Oh, when something is like too happy for words, I am weeping. It doesn't matter if it's the biggest piece of shit in the world. I got to watch The Prom. So I've now seen The Prom on Ryan Murphy's The Prom with Meryl Streep and James Corden and Nicole Kidman and all them. There are moments. Keegan Michael Key is in it too. He's really good. But there's moments in it.
My favorite rapper, Meryl Streep.
Oh, yeah. She's very much rapping in the post credits. But the movie is, it's pretty much garbage, but the performances that are good are so good. Like Meryl just, she did it again. Meryl is always so good, and she's so good at musical theater. She sounds original Broadway cast. She does.
This is my thing with Meryl at this point.
Oh, you're such a bitch.
No. Let me say this. This is intentionally stupid. I want her to intentionally fail at something. Ooh. I want her to be like, I want her to do the opposite of Christine Baranski and like be and like not really give a shit in something that she's in.
Well, okay, Mamma Mia 2, when she came in at the end,
yeah.
I was really expecting her to be like, it's me, can you believe I'm here? And then 30 seconds later, I'm crying.
You're 100%
so
crying.
Beautiful.
She's so real.
They like, really kept like, that under wraps. I didn't know that she was going to be in it.
No, but Joel, oh my God, told but you,
know,
right?
You know the story of when me and Bowen went to go see it.
No.
Well, we went to go see it, and we were so high, and Bowen had no idea that she wasn't in it. And like the very first seconds of the movie makes clear that she is dead as a doornail. And Bowen turns to me and goes, is Meryl Streep not in this? And I go, she's not in it. She's not in it at all.
And
she's
I
dead.
Laugh.
And he goes,
loud.
Then why are we here?
For Amanda Seyfried.
I was like, for Cher in an hour and a half.
But the Cher was worth it.
Okay, the Cher was what I thought the Meryl would be. Like, I expected... Right. Yeah, okay, I don't have to explain. Thank you.
But thank God, but thank God we had Cher. But the Cher was still great.
It was still great, but like that's like the Meryl, I thought it would be more, I thought Meryl would be like helicopter and ha ha.
Yeah. Helicopter and ha ha. Title of that.
Helicopter and ha ha.
Beautiful. Wow. We all deserve that role someday. Sorry, we're all actors. We all deserve that.
We all deserve the helicopter and ha-ha.
Ha-ha.
Yes.
I think that's true, though. Everyone needs their helicopter and ha-ha moment. Even like a slowly descending the stairs to great fanfare moment. Like, we all deserve that. If it can't be one, it has to be the other.
Post-makeover.
Well, I think it's like, if it's a joke that you're bigger than the movie, that's a helicopter and ha-ha.
Yeah.
Like she doesn't need this helicopter.
If your participation is a plot point.
Girls, I'm truly so overjoyed and honored to be with you. I really am. I'm sorry. I know this is the thing that Mitra hates, but these are some of my favorite humans.
I agree. And listen, Mitra is one of my favorite humans. I would not podcast without her.
No, but we laugh. But like, you guys really are some of my favorite humans.
It's not a joke when we say that you guys are some of our favorite humans.
No, but see,
I know it's not a joke, but when you say it this, it's
sort of helicopter
there's
and
something
ha-ha
about
when
it.
We say it.
It's helicopter and ha-ha.
It's very Young Life to say humans.
Yeah, like youth group, like
yes.
Church kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love these amazing humans.
You know what though? It's pretty inclusive.
Yeah.
Young Life.
It's everyone. It's everyone.
Wait, the word like using humans or Young Life?
Yeah. What? Humans.
Okay.
Humans. Thought, oh, okay, okay. We thought you were talking about Young Life.
Well, Young Life too, lets any religion in.
how do we express an earnest thought that is completely detached, does not have any irony to it. That like, I'm like, I'm so happy to be with my friends right
I
now.
I feel
I'm
like
sorry.
Everyone, I feel like you know who's really good at that? Mitra. You 100% know when Mitra is genuine. Always.
Because I'm crying.
Because she's crying and you feel like you have to do a lot of work to like sort of make sure she's okay. No, just kidding. But like, yeah, you are always, you're very good at being a like... Like step away sidebar, this is my genuine feeling and I love you heart to heart hug moment good friend. You really
thank
are.
Thank you.
And it's beautiful because she's just as good as being the opposite and like truly calling.
And then sometimes Debra's. You can be a total stunty bitch.
That's not true. That's not true. And I'm sick
you're doing
of you guys.
It now.
I'm sick of this shit. And you know what? I do say the slur.
No, she doesn't.
Can you imagine?
Another front runner for title of that. I do say the slur. You know
really,
what?
Really, really want to make it clear. I don't.
She doesn't. She would be the last person.
You know what I was just thinking?
What?
It would be what you guys could do as a stunty thing. Like, If you guys did, if we got into like sort of a fight at the end of this episode, and then you guys didn't come on the podcast for 60 years.
Well, that's what it feels like.
And then in 60 years, you guys come back, and our all our listeners will die then. That will be when they all die of joy and happiness and catharsis. Sweet.
And this is you saying you don't want us to come back for a really long time. Really
no, you guys aren't. No, you guys aren't allowed back for 60 years.
But Matt's saying we set up like a Kill Bill Volume 3 thing where it's like we create the conflict.
Our children, when they have podcasts, come back. Yeah.
I wouldn't wish that on my child. Basically, my child won't be
it's
allowed
hereditary.
To even. My ancestors in Iran were some of the first ancient Persians actually invented podcasting.
Anna's family has been producing them for centuries.
Shahrazadeh, of course.
Who do you think is the Bowen and who do you think is the Matt of Mitra and I's podcast? Can you guess?
I can guess. It's interesting. I think I'm the Mitra and Matt's the Joel.
No,
that's what I would have said.
It's reverse.
See, but Joel feels he is an authority to say this, but you can't see your own podcast.
And I think he is. You can't.
You can't see your own podcast. It's like a thing. It's like when you look in a picture, it's not really you.
You can't
see your own.
I'm the Matt, and Mitra is the Bowen.
That's what I just said.
Oh.
See, and that energy—that's
Matt.
Is why. Yeah.
Use code URGENT at checkout.
I love that the code that people have to use to use a therapy site for you is URGENT.
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 URGENT. Urgent. Well, and speaking of BetterHelp, there's no better place to chat with your online therapist than a Casper mattress. My former employer, shout out.
Oh my God, what a fun moment when a lot of Brooklyn alt comedians were working at Casper. That was nice.
They're from the beginning. It was so
They're
special.
From the beginning.
Working in that showroom.
From the ground up.
Love you guys.
Are you still a company woman?
I actually do have a Casper mattress. So.
Same.
Well, actually, Helix Girls. So the fact that you did that started a war.
Wow. And this can be where the fight starts. Remember this. Remember this.
We're breaking the story.
Ooh, a little bit.
Blue sky.
It's so fun to be in the blue sky phase because you can say anything. You can do anything.
My character, Mitra, has huge tits.
We'll talk about that a little bit more, Mitra, actually, because you have been considering the procedure.
Are you going to get big knockers?
I said to Joel that I thought it would be really funny if one day I had huge tits.
We're there. I think we're all at that age now where we're thinking, and we're in 2020, we're like at this age in 2020 where it's kind of like, yeah, you think about a procedure you want sometimes.
I don't think that would be the one for me, but I do think, like, just in terms of like personality, I would be a really funny person to just walk out with like
huge
tits out of nowhere. Shit. Just like someone who like doesn't, I don't really like dress for my body. Yeah.
I wonder what a men's large t-shirt would look like over Mitra with huge tits.
I literally today, I got some new jeans and I put them on and they fit great. And I was like, I have to tell Joel, he's going to be really proud of me.
Oh my God. So Greta came over the other day and we were trying to figure her outfit out for a self tape. And Joel gave me a shirt that looks historically hot on him, and he let me have it. And I was like, oh my God, it only sort of worked on me. And I told him it really worked on Greta.
It really did.
Yep. Oh my God, random that something looked great on the hottest person in our community.
And she goes, it's cute. I wonder if I should just, and she sort of tied it up in like her waist and like tightened it and like Greta. Rolled up the sleeve. And was like, she's like, I wonder if I should just do this. And I was like, oh, you're ready for the cover of the hottest teen mag.
How are some people so effortlessly stunning? I'm sorry, keep going.
Wait, that wasn't a real question?
I know. It is.
It's crazy.
She really has. She has a je ne sais quoi.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
She tied it up and then I was like, and then she added insult to injury. I was like, you should keep it. It looks really good on you. And she was like, no, you have it. So like she gave it back to me. And so now every time I put it on, I'll know it wasn't mine to begin with. It looked hot on Joel. And it was taken from me, tried on, looked stunning, and handed back. And said, make it work.
Our bodies are different.
No, they're not. At the end of the day, everyone has the same body. And that's beautiful.
Everyone is the same. Proportions.
I want to clarify what I said earlier, which is that we're at that age where we're thinking about procedures, but I want to clarify that. I want to contextualize this, and I keep talking about this Gia Tolentino piece in The New Yorker about Instagram face and about how like we're moving in the direction where like self-care will, or where cosmetic procedures are going to be sort of
under the umbrella of self-care.
Under the umbrella of self-care, where it's like going to the spa is like getting your... like getting a filler or something, you know? And
I feel like that's already like housewives.
Yeah,
the language around, of just like, this is how I take care of myself. And I see that online a lot of like getting you're taking care of yourself by getting the procedure that you want to get. That's like you taking care of yourself.
For sure. I've probably quoted this before, but at the end of this piece, like she then interviews.
If you quoted it before.
She interviews the biggest like Beverly Hills plastic surgeon or person or whatever who like works with Kim Kardashian, and he's like, you know that feeling when you get a great haircut and you look in the mirror and you're like, this is the best version of myself? Like that is the feeling you get from these procedures times 1,000. Like you're just like, this is the way I think I should look.
Mm-hmm.
And it's terrifying because we all want that feeling in a way. In a way, we do. Sorry, not to like speak on everyone's behalf.
It's weird how many more times I've been like, well, you could just do this, like to little things.
Yeah.
Because you feel like it's available. And yeah, it's probably because it is very standardized.
It's not technically available. Like, I'm not going to like, it doesn't fit into my life.
Well, what do
like,
you want done? We'll figure out if it's available.
Yeah.
We can look it up.
Matt just did. So Matt just pulled back his like, and I have an underbite. So I want to like, but that's like orthodontia.
You need a chin. Like, you need a new chin.
Why do you need a chin? Well, that's not orthodontia. Sorry. That's like maxillofacial stuff. But like, I want like a,
apologize
I
want, like, again,
like,
bitch.
I'm so sorry. I want like a this and a, is it so right. fucked up that we're talking about this?
So
I'm
what
sorry.
You're saying is you want a man's chiseled chin.
No, it's not. It doesn't have to be chiseled. It just needs to be like.
Well, it will literally be chiseled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is what would be used.
But like chiseler. Joel has a chiseled chin, has a chiseled jawline. He makes that face.
So we should take his.
Let's take his.
Give your chin for Bowen.
I would give more than my chin for Bowen.
Oh. Can you assign like it heart organ heart donor things to certain people? Like I know you can sign up to be a heart organ all these things donor. But can I specify who I want to have it?
I don't think so. I don't think unless well, like they need to. It immediately.
I want you to have my heart, Joel. I want you to have my brain, Mitra. I want you to have my stomach, Bowen.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Why did Mitra get the smallest one and Bowen got the biggest one?
I didn't really think about it. I just kind of want you guys to have things of mine.
I'm going to do really good stuff with your brain.
Do we get them transplanted or do we just keep them like in a jar?
It's not up to me.
I'm putting it in a dog. Talking dog. That dog is going to sing.
It's going to be singing.
A Christmas show.
Matt, we haven't talked about this.
What?
Have you heard of Christmas?
I was thinking the other day, I was like, it's such a shame that
yeah,
you know,
no, that's my favorite Christmas culture.
That is actually my favorite. That is literally the only piece
that's
of Christmas.
Kind.
I've gone to Matt's Christmas show every year since it started happening. And that is really my only Christmas tradition.
It makes me so happy when you come every year. And Joel finally saw it this year.
I know. It's not for lack of trying.
No, I know that. I know
it's
that.
It's brilliant.
It's truly brilliant.
Thank you, babe. It's honestly, if I can be honest, it's definitely like put a real cloud over this time of year. Because it's that thing that I get to do at the end of the year that I feel like pulls me out of a funk. And I just feel like it didn't happen
this year.
You should
do it once, like, whatever. To be cute in July. just to get it in.
Yeah,
I hope to do it in like May, July, but May, June, July. I feel like charade. And then I thought to myself, like, did I severely fuck up by not finding a way to do it on streaming or like in any way, even on my Instagram being stupid? Like, why didn't I do this? But then I was just like, I'm not in the mood. No. You know what I mean? It's weird. And I'd rather just save it.
It's such an in the room thing. And like, I don't want to like ruin anything, but like the moment at the end where you like, you really involve us, you know, like we get there.
Yeah. It's my favorite thing. You're right. It has to be presented in the right way. I can't just like toss it out there.
And it has to be July because of the Christmas in July of it all.
You gotta. Also, I feel like next year people, you could technically do a Christmas show at any time during the year. It would just be funny that it wasn't happening during Christmas. Maybe.
Anyone will go at any time.
it's that good.
It's one of the funniest things you can do actually is put a Christmas thing in the middle of
Actually hilarious because think about the opposite factor. And that's what they call it in comedy, the opposite factor. You know what I mean? It's like sort of like when you see a fireman and like he's like doing a real tough thing and then takes off his helmet and it's like, it's a little girl. It's like there's like that's an opposite factor in their presentation.
What?
Well, because that's like the idea. The big Hollywood movie is it's a fireman, but she's also a little girl who goes to school.
Sold. And you know that's a movie with like The Rock.
Yeah. Millie Bobby Brown and The Rock.
The Rock and Millie Bobby Brown, yeah. And so what's his role in it? Because he's not the fireman.
He's the reluctant trainer.
He's the trainer.
He trains her for fire.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, come on, put me in, coach.
And this takes place.
That accent is amazing.
Thank you.
This takes place in Britain.
They don't have firemen over there.
Yeah, it's so soggy there, like nothing catches a blaze.
Is that true?
Yeah.
No. Wait, what? Whenever, if Joel says something, I immediately go, it's true. You're wrong.
Well, the thing is, he's presenting, I still don't know. I'm still like, but what about all the chimneys that famously are swept there?
This is Taylor Momsen.
The Taylor Momsen is dead sort of moment.
Are there firefighters in Britain?
That shouldn't be the title of it, but wouldn't it be funny? It's not funny.
If Taylor Momsen is dead was the title?
Yeah, it's like you breaking the news.
But Taylor Momsen funny. Dead at 32.
No.
No.
I feel bad.
She's not 32.
Mitra, I feel bad.
Taylor Momsen is pretty 32. Reckless.
How dare you? I think she's young historically.
She's historically young.
Young girl.
She's historically like epically the youngest. Goth now. Epic goth. Yeah.
She's an epic goth.
Taylor Momsen dead at 32 is funny because it's sort of like a prediction.
Oh.
No.
Joel. Okay, ready? Star or actress Taylor Momsen?
Neither.
Neither.
Rock star.
Rocker.
Rock star.
Rocker.
I think she was both when she did Where Are You Christmas. When she was a child in The Grinch.
Yeah, she
both.
Acted the hell out of that role. She was such a powerful actress in that role.
No one else could have done what she did.
No one.
In The Grinch.
She gave grounded. She was grounded. Cindy Lou.
Cindy.
Who? She was gritty. She was real.
Dakota Fanning who? Taylor Momsen in Grinch.
Take a hike. Hollywood said, take a hike, Dakota.
Market correcting.
Elle Fanning. Yeah. Corrected by...
Miss Elle Fanning.
That's right. Elle Fanning.
The earth
Dakota.
Is healing.
Could Elle Fanning ever have done what Taylor Momsen did in that role?
Yes.
She was iconic in Babel.
Was she in Babel?
Yeah, she's a little girl who got lost.
She was very much the little girl in Babel.
Oh my God.
Also, don't forget, she's the star of the biggest films. Maleficent. She's the star of Maleficent, the biggest films in the world. These are huge blockbusters. Maleficent, Maleficent 2. These are blockbuster films.
Oh my God. Maleficent 2. You guys should watch that one.
Oh my God.
When the dragon.
Girl.
In his hand.
When the dragon. You can't see it, readers, but I'm doing sort of a dragon claw.
What do you guys think of like Matt's, like, I think Matt is so expressive with his hands in a way that not a lot of other people are. I just like, there's so much energy.
It's because he's from New Jersey.
I'm from fucking Long Island, New York. He consistently does this to me. He regionalizes me and he sort of tosses us all in. But you know what? There's differences between New Jersey and New York and Long Island. Damn.
And that's the conversation we need to be having in this country right now.
Yes, yeah. The differences between New Jersey and New Yorkers. No, we shouldn't talk about us at all. It's the one Housewives franchise I will refuse to watch is Real Housewives of New Jersey.
What did they ever do?
Because it's too real for me.
They're criminals? Oh, okay.
No, it's literally too real. I see like family and friends in it. I'm like, oh God. To me, it's so dark and real. And them going to jail, I'm like, yeah, people I know could go to jail.
That's why I don't watch Hillbilly Elegy.
Yeah. Because you see too much of me. You see too much of you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you try to watch it?
I haven't yet, but I will.
I haven't either.
I mean, I'm excited, but I just haven't had like the night. I'm gonna need to make a night of it, and I just haven't had that night yet.
Right.
Popcorn
right,
and right. Everything.
Popcorn, box of tissues.
For all the cum.
That's gonna be a big night.
But really, I haven't watched Shaws of Sunset for that reason.
There is no real like East Asian Housewives equivalent.
I think you can do like Korean rich Korean kids in like LA or something. That would be fun. Yeah,
I definitely you could do like Parachute Kids too.
What's that?
Parachute Kids. It's like when they send over like kids to like go to really good schools over here.
Right.
And they're living basically alone sometimes. And like, they're very, very wealthy. And they, that's a Parachute Kid.
And they need a reality show.
Yeah, they do. They absolutely
And that their last, the last thing that's sort of missing from their development is they need a reality show. Then
I'd love
then
they'll to just, watch that.
They'll sort of skyrocket at that point.
Well, yeah. I think that's what it takes to sort of bring awareness to these people is that they're on a show.
I would watch. I would totally watch. I would be, I mean, I'll watch anything about someone with more money than me.
It is kind of funny, like as of late, I've been watching so much Architectural Digest home tours and just being like, the fireplace. Yes, the ceiling, like noticing things, it like home design and all of that has become a real interest of mine. And it, the more money, the better. The more I will never be able to afford it, the better. I'm watching.
Liv Tyler's was my thing. Yes, I love her being like, so nobody actually like knew what wallpaper was, but then I got wallpaper, and then people started using wallpaper. So I sort of love that about
me. Hers was just like, this is a door that's really big. This is another door that's even bigger.
Like, and Nicole Scherzinger's, she's like, I love gray and black. Yeah.
My look is very modern.
It's very modern in that everything in my home looks like death.
My favorite thing about Liv Tyler's was when she's like outside and she's like, there's and over there are my neighbors, they're my friends. Yeah, I have friends.
Setting the example. Befriend your neighbors. The one I just watched, Greta was over and we watched Dita Von Teese, and her whole home is an extension of her brand, really. She goes, yeah. There's actually not a comfortable place to sit in the entire house. She was fully like, you can't use or do anything here.
So my bed is actually a girdle.
It's just like there's taxidermy everywhere.
How is it and ethical?
What is that?
Well, because the animals died of natural causes.
But you
causes.
Fuck it first. And then
the animals were fucked to death by you. Yeah, you say, I love you. They were made love to death.
You fuck them until they have a heart attack and die from ecstasy. And then you're allowed to stuff them. And that's legal.
Only in America. Okay. And then basically the animals die of natural causes and you're allowed to hang them up in your home.
Wow.
So you let them get so old and ugly. And then you pull them up.
What you do is you adopt one, you adopt an endangered species, and then when it dies, you get to hang it up in your house.
So cool.
So rad.
Epic steampunk sleigh.
Here's a good question. What celebrity, what current celebrity do you think might be guilty of taxidermy?
Mel Gibson.
Of no, poaching. Poaching.
Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson. I have one for Mel Gibson. Who's a poacher?
I think Lady Gaga secretly loves to hunt. I think she's expressed, for some reason during her, of course, when she was promoting Joanne, she was like, yeah, I've shot a gun. She's like, I've shot guns before. Yeah. shoot cans off of my uncle's fence, whatever. I'm like, okay, Gaga.
Like, Gaga poaches to promote Joanne.
But I think she's like shot at animals before and she kind of likes it.
One thing, what do you guys think when you see like, you know, just a gay person that you know, and then they go home and all of a sudden it turns out they hunt with their family?
Do they exist?
Yeah.
You know, just a gay person that you know.
It's just like someone like, Alan. You know, from LA, from New York, just like whatever. They're just out, whatever. And then they go home to see their family and they are straight up hunting and carcasses. Carcasses.
I actually know
your
exactly
story.
Who Matt is talking about.
And what?
I've experienced this as well. But
carcasses.
Do I know this person?
No.
Do I know
you
this
will
person?
Soon. Oh,
okay. Okay. Joel, what were you saying?
I was just agreeing with Matt that I've experienced this phenomenon as well.
So I recognize who you're recognizing and I see you, sister. And I want to tell you it's that person. And subsequently, other people I followed turns out are like big game, game hunters, but like, you know, they're out there, you know, shooting geese. They're out there, you know, deers are taking bullets. It's kind of crazy.
Deers are taking bullets. I mean, I don't mean for us to sound like soft-handed city people who are like hunting.
Well, I was about to say, I feel like it's not that shocking for me because so many people from where I'm from are like into hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the gay ones?
I don't know.
That is the question.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe not. I don't know. I guess thought about it before. I'll check in. So many of the people I went to high school with are private and it kills me because I want 15 minutes of scrolling through 800 photos and then I'm never going to look again. And, but I don't want to follow for that experience. I want to just be able
to
scroll.
You don't
want
to alert them to your presence. You want to be able to do it anonymously.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's truly blessed and miraculous that I've only had maybe 4 people total from high school like ever feel like reaching out to me over any medium. And I'm like, this, I hacked it. I did it. Like no one's like hitting me up, crawling out of the woodwork, like from that part of my life, that time in my life being like, hey, how you doing? And I'm like, I have no real interest in seeing you or even being reminded that you exist. And this is how it should be.
Lucky.
Lucky, very lucky. I don't know.
I mean, when I would see everyone was at when you'd go home for Thanksgiving or Christmas and see everyone at the bar the night before Thanksgiving or at the bar the night before Christmas Eve, and I feel like
wouldn't get the damn invitation, and I loved it. Sorry, I keep going.
You would have to just show up at Maxwell's in our town, and everyone would be there. And yes, it was called Maxwell's.
Well, if you ever want to come to a million weddings, please let me know.
Are you still going to a lot of weddings from high school?
I mean, not this year, but I did have several from high school this year that I was going to go to. And yeah, I'm going to at least 4, like whenever weddings start again.
Yeah, I had I think 4 or 5 that were moved to next year too. It just seemed like this was the sweet spot.
I fucking love weddings.
I go to all of them.
I mean, I do like a wedding because it's free food. You drink so much.
You see your buddies.
I'm looking at a picture of Mitra and I at a wedding right now.
Wait!
Let's see it. Oh my God.
First of all, you guys look hot. Wow. You guys look gorgeous. What wedding is that?
That's Megan Gailey and CJ Toledinos.
Oh, love.
We love Megan and Siege. Mitra, your hair looks so good in that.
Oh my God. Thank you.
Yeah, it looks like shit today.
As usual, a pleasure to see you, Joel.
Do you feel like that's another thing about weddings too, is you do get to get a little, you know, gussied up. And that's sort of the thing that, you know, I like, you know, like getting ready for a picture. Like, remember prom pictures?
I have a story about prom. Okay. Go. So this, well, it's a saga. So my big prom story is that my junior year of prom, I have two stories actually. My junior year of prom, I went with a senior. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is important because Winner. He graduated. Yeah. He graduated and we yes. had a really bad time at prom. He graduated. Ooh. And then his senior year, he had won the talent show. That's an important detail. So my senior year, he sang. Senior year, we have the talent show again. And if you are the winner of the talent show, you are allowed to return and perform at the subsequent year's talent show, even if you are graduated. So he returned to perform and he sang a song about me called Medusa.
Oh my God.
In front of 700 people.
Medusa. And can I ask, did they all in the audience know you were Medusa?
Yeah, I remember turning to my friend and she was dating his really close friend. And I remember turning to her and I was like, is this about me? She was like, yeah.
And she couldn't give you the heads up?
I don't know if she knew, but
she didn't know Medusa was being performed.
No, but I think it was just like but it was like, this is clearly about you. Because I was really like, maybe you're being insane. Like, not everything's about you, bitch. Like,
do you remember what any of the lyrics were?
It was like, I actually had him send me the lyrics like several years later, and he was like very like game about it. But it was something about her stare. It was very like high school boy, like her stare turns me to stone, blah blah blah, like, but then ugh. It like like the way it ends is like, now I reject her and I turn her to stone.
He took the power.
He took the power back from me. He took back the night from me. Because I didn't.
To write.
You were such a Medusa. You were a fucking monster.
Refusing to kiss.
Oh my God. To write a song called Medusa either means you are a boy who just graduated high school or mm-hmm. you're like a 45-year-old pop star. Like,
have you guys ever heard of
Ava Max? What worse thing?
Huh? Or what? Or what, Joel?
Or you're Ava Max.
Yes. Or you're Ava Max. I can see exactly. her having like a single called Medusa.
Medusa.
Hey. I'm gonna be a Medusa. I'm gonna be a Medusa.
Hey. I love it already. I really do.
I immediately, the song that came in my head was I don't remember what it became, but Burka. That Lady Gaga.
It became Aura.
Demo.
It became Aura. Yeah.
Yes, but all the lyrics stayed the same. Where it's basically like. They just changed it to Aura.
Do you really want to peek behind the girl? The girl behind the burqa, behind the aura, behind the burqa.
It's
behind the burqa. Yeah. And then, of course, you're Lebanese, you're Orient.
And then also, is it the next album where she has Gypsy?
Yeah.
I'm a Gypsy, Gypsy, hey. Unfortunately, Gypsy is a fucking great song, but it has
it
that
really
title.
Is. But is Lady Gaga uncancelable? Like,
I hope so.
It really does feel.
Like, yeah, where was the, like, where were, I guess there must have been dialogue about burqa, but.
you would assume.
There was absolutely dialogue about burqa.
But the song got fully produced.
That's the thing. It's like these things make it through. Someone's not saying album. Something.
It's really wild. I mean, if you get that ultra world famous at 23, then yeah, you're going to. Your brain is going to be broken enough to be like, yes, this is worth pushing through all the way.
At that point, I feel like you have to hire someone that hates you to be on your team and be like, this is bad. You just need someone to be like, no, you need one negative voice.
Do you remember that story that came out that was like, like somebody who was friends with Perfume Genius was like, Perfume Genius and Adele were at this event with Lady Gaga, and Lady Gaga was like, do you want to hear my new album? This is right before Chromatica came out.
Mm.
And she listened to she played them the whole album, and then Adele sent everyone out of the room and was like, this album's terrible. You cannot release this album.
But it wasn't Chromatica, right? It didn't end up being, or it was Chromatica?
Well, we don't know. We don't know.
Right, that's right. Yes, I remember the story. Yeah. Sorry. Go
on. So Adele was where was Adele for Burka is sort of the story.
She hadn't yet really hit her stride yet.
Yeah.
They just didn't align for Burka. You know what I mean? Like, if only.
Well, all the stars aligned.
but Adele is someone who, 25, like, she played it for Rick Rubin, and he was like, she played like demos of other songs, and he was like, you can't release this. And she was like, okay. And I'm going to redo the whole thing. And then she ended up releasing 25. So she's just paying that forward because someone else did that to her, which is like perfect. You know,
but it would be hard to have to look into Lady Gaga's eyes and be like, do another album. Like, you must have, like, Adele must have, and she's earned a lot of like confidence, like, to just be like to Lady Gaga, who's Lady Gaga, be like, you must record a new album.
Yeah.
And then honestly, like,
okay,
Lady Gaga, you must record a new album.
This is bad, babe. You have to record a new album.
She's the fucking face of Dior, yeah.
Go do a new one. It's bad.
I want that job. I want that job. To be like, no.
Yeah.
This is crazy and not like good. Back to the drawing board. Change it to Aura, babe.
Yeah, it's Burka. It needs to be Aura.
Yes,
keep one Burka in the lyrics, in the verse, in the bridge.
You can have one Burka as a treat.
And then takes a little slurp of his water.
Okay, well, hold on. Everyone say one thing that's been unaddressed so far, and then we can move on.
I just feel like I came here to talk about culture. I sort of came here, you know, to discuss and share thoughts about culture, and I haven't been really given a platform to do that. And I've been sort of standing by here and watching you guys sort of run your podcast into the ground in front of Mitra and I. But I've stood back and I sort of said, I'm going to let this happen. And Mitra agrees with me. She's been chatting me the same thoughts sort of this whole time. And it's been freeing, honestly, to sort of sit back and sort of not have to steer a conversation because it's not our house. It's not Mitra and I's house today, you know? Like, it's your house.
Okay, I understand that, and it hurts me to hear, but this is the exact point I was making earlier that I ended up apologizing for, ironically, but I take it back because this is what I'm saying. You guys are not friends. You guys should be the friends to say, hey, reverse, change your course. And you haven't done that.
Well, because we're in your house.
I'm agreeing with Joel.
Wait a minute. So it's the three of you against me?
Yeah.
This sucks.
I'm kind of just figuring out where I stand on this. yeah. I'm really mad at you, Bowen.
I want to know a take because we don't have them.
Okay, we should all go around round robin and do it.
All right,
please okay, start.
Great. A cultural take. I'll start. The flight attendant, corny and bad. Kaylee Cuoco, an Estonian, as in Jen. I think she's great, but I think the show is stupid and bad.
It's possible to pull positive.
T.R. Knight, Exile.
Yeah, no, and also his
character back on TV.
Well, he's having a big week. He's back on Grey's Anatomy.
Whoa,
is
he really?
He, like, Meredith is in her, like, COVID coma and is seeing dead people. And so Mitra just...
It is crazy to think that they're doing that as a storyline.
And so she's walking around on this beach and she's running telling on itself for how many people it's killed off.
Mm-hmm.
How did it kill T.R. Knight?
Oh, babe. He got hit by a bus so badly that his entire body was unrecognizable. And a big twist in the episode that he dies in is basically...
this trauma patient is George. Oh, my
they're
God.
They're holding hands with him, and he, like, signs into their hand, I'm George.
Oh.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
But he's unrecognizably run over by a bus.
Getting hit by a bus, of course. A Life Itself moment. If anyone remembers that movie. Use that, I think, at least two, maybe three times.
So it's a theme.
It's a theme. Not enough of it.
Not enough of it. Okay, but Flight Attendant, I was in the first three episodes, and then by the end of episode four, I was like, oh, this is actually terribly, terribly constructed, unfortunately. But Kaylee, great. Rosie, love.
But I will watch every episode.
I will watch every episode.
It doesn't stay on the rails, that's for sure. But I'm sure we're going to watch every episode. And there might be something interesting happening with Rosie Perez on it.
Rosie Perez playing a character named Megan.
Megan
Briscoe. Megan Briscoe.
But it's so weird how I just finished the first Spider-Man game where like the main villain is like a Chinese guy who has a gang of Chinese people like chase you around the city. And then I just hot off the heels of that, I'm watching The Flight Attendant where like the bad, threatening, scary people are like these Korean men who are like following all the characters around. And I'm like, what is this? I'm not saying there's like a problematic thing going on. I'm just like, why am I like drawn to these things where like,
You're the problem. I think that is a really good takeaway. You should really lean into that it's your fault.
Well, that I'm just like, why am I like stumbling on these pieces of media that are all like these Asian men in suits are scary. I don't know.
Well, it's because the people are like, oh God, the terrorist thing is so tired. Like we've kind of cycled through every single Middle Eastern actor that has and ever will be. So we have to like find somewhere else until like
we have to do a couple smart more Asian.
age into the working. we need a fresh crop.
Yes.
What are people scared of now? China.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. That's a good take, Joel.
I have a take.
Okay.
I am up to date on what I'm calling the Hulu's a teacher. And
what,
on Hulu's a teacher.
You're the one who's calling it that?
Mm-hmm.
It is that.
He's adding Hulu's in front of it is Matt's trademark.
I'm saying I don't like just saying I'm watching a teacher.
Yeah. Right.
I'm watching it's Hulu's
Hulu,
a teacher.
Founder of Hulu Weens the teacher.
Yes. Yes. And in watching that, I have discovered that Kate Mara is actually a capital T talent.
Welcome. Welcome home, baby.
And I know I'm sort of like being welcomed with open arms in a sort of me as Meredith Grey in a COVID coma running on the beach towards like, let's say, Christina moment. And I really appreciate the work that she did in this last episode, which is episode 6, but 7 episodes will be out by the time this comes out, readers, who I'm sure are chomping at the bit to watch Hulu's a teacher. But in episode 6, the shit hits the fan, so to speak, and this is something that people say, this is an expression of when the things get really crazy in the show. And so things have gotten really crazy in the show, and Kate Mara has displayed some quiet, precise, emotional, just really stomach-churning work.
How's Love, Simon?
Love, Simon is good. And he has a name, which is Nick Robinson, but he will be known as Love, Simon forever. And Love, Simon is a talent. And he really pulls it out. And also, he's good casting because we feel he's a teen, but also he is older. He's like 25.
Mm.
So it's weird because you're sort of watching it and you're like, oh, like there's chemistry there. I kind of want these two to fuck. And then you're like, oh, wait. Like, he's playing a 17-year-old in the show. That's so bad. And I do think it's weird what they've managed to do. Or not what's weird, what they've managed to do, but what we've accepted is, like, in Desperate Housewives, like, Eva Longoria is, like, this, like, vamp who fucks, like, this...
Oh, my God.
16-year-old in the show, which is the character of John, who's played by a 30-year-old.
I mean, yeah, I think that one is easy because he looks 100.
He looks her age, and they're like, he's 16. And it's like, you never would. But in this, like, you buy Nick Robinson as a teen, but you know he's 25. So it's like, the politics of it in your mind are kind of crazy. But then the show is like, no, this is wrong. They bookend it with, if you or someone you know has been a victim of grooming, it like really explores that. Like the show is a lot
smarter.
If
you or someone you know has been a girl doing improv.
Oh my God. let's say it.
But yeah, the show ends up being more about the fallout of and sort of abuse of the situation and less about like they're having a sexy affair, which I think is great and is
that's
interesting to see a lead character, which is a like a abuser that's a woman towards a male victim. It's interesting.
What do you see in this? What's next for Kate?
I think probably Girl Thor. Yeah. Girl Thor. I know Natalie Portman is doing it, but I'm sure she'll have to drop out for like to play Jackie O again. And there's going to be a sequel to that, I heard. So she'll want to go do that. Yeah, it's called Jackie 2. And it's more her as like a little bit older and
like
she's
shopping.
Like, yeah, she got like different hair and stuff. She's like shopping. She has a new boyfriend. His name is Onassis, and it's like very hot
his
between them.
His name is Onassis.
Yeah, his name is Onassis. The guy she hooks
Jackie
up with
two,
next.
His name is Onassis.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Jackie 2, colon, his name is Onassis. And it's like a lot of them shopping and stuff, and her more having fun in her later years. So she'll probably want to do that. And so Kate
the
American
Long,
too.
The Long Island.
Thor too.
The Long Island. Jackie 2. Like the way you say Jackie 2. Long Island.
Did you see Jackie 2? Wait, did you see Spider-Man? It was so good, I thought. That, they like every movie, those girls.
I thought.
Oh my God, Four Christmases? That was so good. I thought that was so I good, thought. I thought.
Okay, I have a culture.
Go.
Okay.
I'm participating. My take is that Botched is better than Nip Tuck.
Wait.
And the two are, of course, sister shows. Come yeah. from.
They are. If you're me watching both of them,
that's like
over
saying
the
like
months,
the Normal Heart is better than Rent. Like it is not. Just because they're both sort of tangentially about the same thing, it seems.
Botched is a reality show.
I'm sorry,
show?
I couldn't hear a word you said, Joel.
Botched is a reality show. Nip Tuck is famously a serialized Ryan Murphy drama. So go ahead, say why. What's so good about Botched?
Botched, I would argue, gives you more like satisfying drama and catharsis every episode than Nip Tuck. And I've watched the first season of Nip Tuck now for no reason.
So you didn't get to the good part of Nip Tuck where there's like a killer.
I just was like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
I never really stopped to ask why. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I did that, it was time to stop watching.
Did you find the show sexy?
No, it really like every like it just felt like I don't know, like Tom Cruise, like Bruce Willis. Like it was very just like he's ripping the shirt open. Isn't that what you want?
It was a specific Tom Cruise sexiness.
Tom Cruise.
Yeah. This like Tom Cruise, Bruce Willis attitude. Yeah.
It felt like which was weird given the creator, but it's like, felt like what a straight guy thinks a straight woman wants to see.
Yeah.
Like you want to be thrown up on the table. You want to be like, you want the man in charge to
It feels like a show for straight guys. Like it was really like the, like Mr. Miami fucking and sucking all over town in his sports car and his house
cool
looks
guy.
So fucking weird and bad. Yeah. Snorting coke off a stripper's ass, then he kicks her to the curb and like takes big money. And it was very like, okay.
And you were in down to watch the second season.
I didn't make it there, no, but I'm 10 out of 10. Would recommend it to absolutely anyone.
Rather Botched. Now that.
Botched, I have watched all of.
Have you seen the plastic surgery show that has the female plastic surgeons on E?
No, but I've seen a million commercials for it while watching Botched.
What's that called? What's that show called? Does anyone know?
Bitch.
It's called Bitch.
Plastic Surge Hurry.
Fans of Urgent Care will know.
Plastic Surge Hurry.
Surge Hurry. I feel like Botched, you know, you've given me something. You've inspired me, Mitra. I'm going to watch Botched. I was like, I want something that's like reality, but there's some like procedural element to it. Literally, I mean, I guess literally. And like, yeah, I want to finish
it. It's a show that like, it you can leave the room and come back and it's fine.
Oh, perfect.
I would say if you really want a short-term answer to that, Dr. Pimple Popper is also a great one.
I can't do it.
It's so satisfying though. It's so satisfying. And I can't believe it's a full show because every episode is the same. Somebody's got a weird growth and then she takes it off and it's a happy ending every single fucking time.
One of, but that is one satisfying. One of the more angry times I've had with Wit was because one morning I woke up to him watching Dr. Pimple. Like the first thing I saw when I opened my eyes was a pimple being like exploding. I'm so upset. Even though it wasn't like he didn't do anything that wrong, but I was really like, this is beyond the pale.
No, that's an assault on your senses and it has to be talked about.
It's bad to wake up to first thing in the morning. Wait, but how are you guys choosing what shows to watch anymore? Because at this point it feels like I'm being given an assignment by the internet, I guess, you know, where it's like, this is the show you gotta watch.
I don't fight with any of it. If people tell me I should watch it, I'm pretty much watching it unless I know it's going to upset me.
There's something about quarantine though that I find communal viewing very comforting. Like I'm watching a lot of live television. I'm watching a lot of like for no reason. I could be watching these shows like on streaming commercial free, but for some reason watching them live as it's happening and knowing that other people are watching the same thing I'm watching
like with friends.
Brings me some weird amount of comfort. I've been
really enjoying live texting Housewives with people while watching it as it's happening. And I'm completely up to date on The Masked Singer. So
literally those Joel and I like consistently check in about the Dancing Voice. With the Stars, The Voice, like all these we didn't really watch Bachelorette this season, but we thought about it.
We thought about it.
Here's what I think too. It's like, if there's nothing happening in our lives, at least someone else is having a life we can watch things happen in. I honestly think that is what it is right now. It's just filling this.
It has to be someone else's life that's active right now.
Right. Because we talk about it like the way we would talk about our own lives. Like for me, I'm talking about how things are going between Candace and Monique with the urgency I would some friends of mine. Like it's truly like I'll check in with people all the time and be like, I just can't be team. I'll never be team Candace, but I know Monique is wrong. Right, and it's just these are things I used to talk about. Like I have a certain, you know, cousin that's doing something, but I'm just nothing's happening.
Right.
So Candace,
you know, I'm famously Team Candace and have been. And I find the discourse around Team the Candace Monique stuff to have shifted in a way because people are like, well, Candace runs her mouth and you can't run your mouth like that and not expect some retribution. And it's like, that is the bedrock of all of these shows is women running their mouth like that. If we are going to take the position okay to enact violence on somebody for running their mouth, then I'm sorry. There's a lot of women that need
all
to get
hit. All of these women deserve to be beaten. Yeah.
If I might say, my problem is not with the initial altercation of it all. I see that pretty clearly. She was wrong. I guess my problem with everyone in the situation is how they're just choosing to handle it. Like Candace pressing charges to the point where she knows Monique is going to go to maybe prison for this and saying she wants it like prosecuted to the full extent of the law, knowing this woman has children. It's like, and the way that all the women are talking about it, because Monique obviously needs help with this problem, not to be put in jail. That's where I rub on the whole thing, because I feel like they're just taking it too far.
You know what Monique could have done though to avoid that is apologize. I think apologize early and apologize often.
I think you're right, but she has there's something wrong with her. She needs help for it. And I think that like, it's all a big cry for help. I don't know. Also maybe she is.
Candace is not in charge of the sentencing. I don't think she would be put in jail. I really don't. I really don't think she'd be put in jail.
It's just weird. And you think that Candace is doing Real Housewives theater by saying she wants it pursued to the full extent of the law?
I think that. I think she's dumb as a fucking box of rocks. I don't think she knows how the system works. But I don't think that the justice system would put Monique in prison. And maybe that's naive of me. But
maybe that is.
I don't think Candace is that dumb though. Out of all seven of them, she's one of the smarter ones, I would say.
Mitra, are you a Potomac watcher?
I am. Giselle is actually designing my house right now.
Has it?
Oh my god, jewel tones everywhere.
I asked for hot pink, black, white, chrome,
fuchsia,
lots of orange. Zebra. Yeah. And then, yeah, so it just sort of comes with the gun for when you can't handle looking at it anymore.
Wait, can I reveal, I was going to reveal this on our podcast, Mitra, but I'll reveal it now. But I did get you a gift that is now been canceled because of, I got an email. So I ordered you one of Robin Dixon's hats for Christmas.
Oh my God.
But I cannot fulfill the order because of COVID. Weeks ago and I got an email that was like, basically she was like, I was like, where's the hat? And the email was basically like, the hat will not be fulfilled. So,
placing that order is the perfect gift.
Yeah.
Wait, but this is crazy to me. It's COVID. Maybe she just genuinely couldn't figure it out, but you gotta figure it out.
Well, it's not shocking that Robin Dixon couldn't figure out her small hat business.
We watched her sons fulfill the orders.
You're right.
She owes
$100,000 in back taxes. She does not know how to put a hat in a box. She doesn't know.
Send it on time in time for Christmas.
Oh my God. Joel, that is an amazing gift. Thank you.
That's really good. We all gasped on the Zoom reader, if you could see. As soon as Joel said the words,
I'm really sad that it actually might still come. It just definitely won't come until next year sometime.
Perfect. You're gonna get it in April 2021 when she's on to a new venture.
I can't wait. And I'm gonna get you a bucket of La Dame.
I watched this YouTuber, her name is The Brooke Ashley, and she goes over every episode of Potomac, and she is firmly anti Monique. And I'm getting the sense now that a lot of the fan community is sort of positioning themselves anti-Monique in a way where it makes me feel like sad because she won't come back to the show, because I still am operating in this world where they all return to the show, but they're not going to figure this out.
Andy said they're all back.
What?
For the next season?
Yeah. He literally said on Everything Iconic, I think, on a podcast. He was like, all of them are back, including Wendy.
Wow.
Okay, that maybe the fact that they couldn't film together a lot of the time kept Monique in the game because...
For COVID, like during COVID?
Yeah. Because I don't see, unless that gets resolved.
I think like, and maybe he meant like offers are out, but like, so maybe she might opt to not come back, but like, she's not fired. He's not firing her. So
she seems to want to stay as well. Yeah. I don't think it's a situation where she wants out either.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she said on the Rear View, like she wants to continue to be on the show to try to set her own narrative as long as possible. Like, and she genuinely felt that when everything rolled out, she'd be vindicated when it was shown on television.
Yeah. Not what happened. Oof,
no,
that's
decidedly
tough.
No, we saw her go nuts.
Who anyway. Do we identify with on Salt Lake City? Have we all watched?
Yes.
I know mine.
I love Meredith.
You're Meredith.
Who do you identify with? You identify as a Meredith?
I think. I think I'm maybe I identify a little bit more with Mary.
I feel like you're a Whitney. You're not Mary.
Sure. No, actually, that's fair. Whitney too.
You feel like Whitney to me.
Okay. That's a little insulting, but I'll take it.
No,
Whitney's, I love Whitney.
We love Whitney. She's so fun.
Whitney, the first two episodes, was like, who gives a shit? And now I'm like, oh, wait, like, you're like, she like has, she's good in the talking heads.
She is. She's like a little more catty than, like, she's getting cattier as the talking heads go on, which I love.
Yeah, she's starting to, you know, say what she really thinks. The producers are finding her.
She is by far the most athletic housewife we've ever had. Watching her snowboard.
Yes.
J-Lo in Hustlers was shook.
Yeah.
I mean,
imagine any other housewife snowboarding.
With that core strength.
Yeah,
I know.
It's God wild. Watching them like slay snowboarding, I was like, this is another
That's Colorado, level. Utah, baby. That's like ski culture. It's like, it's just part. It's just, you gotta know how to do it well. It's wild.
As Shawn Mendes once said, it is in their blood.
As he once said.
I feel like Lisa. because
you are, she, definitely Lisa.
I'm definitely Lisa because this is why. This is why Meredith comes to her to tell her something important about her life that she's separating from her husband, and Lisa can't stop asking if it's going to make her cry. She's like, "Am I going to cry? Will it make me cry? I don't want to cry. I think I'm going to cry. I'm crying now." And Meredith ends up consoling her.
I think actually the more important thing about that scene though is her going, "Can I touch?
Can I touch? Can I touch?
Can I touch?
Can I touch?
Can I touch? Iconic."
It was crazy. That is I touch? Can I touch?
That's mad.
And that woman so uncomfortable being like, "You are actually, that's my role." that's who I think I am.
Yeah, she was like, you really want to touch.
You are the toucher.
Aren't you? It's like, no, bitch, you can't touch this shit. But I am one to stop at four different fast food restaurants.
The way she's raising her children is definitely the way you would raise yours. And I think you, Bowen, are Meredith.
Yeah.
I'm Meredith, disengaging. Maybe. I'm disengaging. I'm not engaging.
No.
You're not going to look through my phone. You're not. You don't think I'm Meredith?
I think maybe you're Meredith, but I'm trying to figure out if you give me Heather.
You could be Heather too. But I think Mitra's Heather.
I think Mitra's Heather, I'm not quick enough to be Heather.
She had a good episode. She had a great episode. Don't clear the burger or the lollipop.
Or the lollipop thing.
That is the moment where I was like, I'm in. Yeah. I'm so, yeah. I already liked Heather, but I was like, her doing that, I was like, I'm with you.
Her calling the Uber driver being like, "I'm the flapper who has cankles.
Flapper with cankles.
I'm a flapper with cankles." I'm like, I love her.
She goes, I'm looking like a flapper with cankles.
I'm like, great.
Oh my God.
And also when she goes, when the conflict was happening at the next table and she goes, "I mean, I'll go over there if we make eye contact, but if not, I'm going to wait for my lollipop chicken."
Perfect. Perfect. I think it's Mitra. I think Mitra's Heather. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like Heather, Mitra?
I was going to say either Heather or Whitney. I think I'm one of the cousins.
You have pioneer ancestors.
Just like my pioneer ancestors.
Like my pioneer ancestors. I'm ready to blaze a new trail. Also, the one that's good that no one talks about is, when you take cheap shots, always expect a hangover.
No, it's great. God. Lisa has a great one.
The worst is... The jealousy is disease, to which I say.
I love it.
Is psychotic.
It's literally a Pat Regan quote. Jealousy it is disease, to which I say get well soon. It's
perfect.
To which I say get well soon.
And I think you're probably wondering what I would say. To jealousy.
I would say.
To which I would say, get well soon, is what I would say to jealousy, to which I would say, get well
whenever
soon.
Whenever a disease exists, I have to say something.
Ultimately, I have to say something. Oh, I think Jen's might be the worst. It's the most low impact. I'm Queen B and MVP.
Jen,
I guess it
feels
like,
very much to me like she's the one who is most self-aware trying to give housewives. Yes. Yeah. Like she's the one, she's like this, I'm on a show and I should be giving this for the show. And that's why it's not connecting for me.
And you know what's weird is she is in direct conflict with Mary, who I think feels like she has to do the housewives thing the least.
Yep.
She is not trying to say things like a housewife. She's not trying to act like a housewife. She's just being herself.
She just is.
And she just is. And she has an interesting storyline, doesn't have to like do anything to make conflict happen.
It's such a shame because Jen is too. It's like, you have seven assistants, babe.
That's not inherently interesting. It's sad. It's just not something that like hooks us. Mary, it's like, oh my God, there's so much going on here. Perfect.
The summer this champagne was made, 5,600 people died and they made the best grapes ever.
Best grapes ever.
Oh my God.
5,600 people died in the wildfires, best grapes ever.
I was like, she's the scariest person in the world.
Terrifying. Are you guys following her on Instagram?
Oh yeah.
No. I should though.
You have to.
Face tuned to oblivion, these photos. And it's, they're works of art. Oh my God.
I was reading about her and her life and the scary woman.
Well, here's a question. Could you fuck your grandfather?
No.
Would you fuck someone who is married to your step, who was married to your grandmother?
Oh, I actually had a step grandfather for a minute there, and I could never have fucked him. He was not the one. Not trying to fuck Charlie.
I would never do it. I would never do it.
No, neither of my grandparents.
For the grandmother to put it in the will, that's what's the, it's not necessarily her fault.
No, that's false though. There's a whole Reddit thread that broke this down. Basically, that is like sort of a fabrication of the lore
that Mary is taking cover behind. Oh. Yeah,
because there is a lot of friction between Mary's mother and Mary. Because there's a lot of like, it's Game of Thrones, but with church, basically. Because Mary's mother wanted to take over the church and marry the grandfather. And then he chose Mary instead. And basically, like, it wasn't that the grandmother wanted it to happen.
That is Game of Thrones.
He basically was like, hey, everyone come here. I need to pray about something. And like, was like, just if you say yes to what I'm going to pray for. And they all did. And it was about marrying Mary. Basically, I'll find the Reddit thread and send it to you. I just butchered
I want to read all of it.
It's long. I've read the same post. It's scary.
What I need from a reader is for them to replace the Real Housewives of Salt Lake theme song with the Game of Thrones theme song. I need to see these women come out and do their taglines with the Game of Thrones theme song underneath. That's how I need to see Mary portrayed. Is dun 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 dun. I want that energy announcing my ladies.
I think you could do that.
I want to pass it off to someone else because I don't trust myself with that. You think I could do that? That's a huge compliment to me that you think I could do that.
I think you're an incredible editor and you need to stop selling yourself short.
I know inside you is an incredible editor.
Not long ago, Matt Rodgers thought his laptop couldn't make PDFs, and I quote.
I am positive it couldn't. I'm telling you. Bowen, you didn't say your cultural take. And then we do have to do I Don't Think So, Honey.
I have so many, don't I?
I thought you sort of did, though.
I had a prompt, which was who are each of us in Salt Lake City, but and this is my take. Every streaming app should have Netflix does this on iPad now and iPhone, but every streaming app should have a 1.5 speed option to watch it through. I don't like watching things regular speed. I never listen to podcasts regular speed, audiobooks regular speed. Most YouTube videos I watch at 1.75 because you can change that. I don't think you should watch something. I don't have the time. None of us have the time for it.
The speed of life is not fast enough for Bowen. The speed of natural life.
Maybe I have some attention disorder, but I'm just like, I just can't do it.
You would want to watch the flight attendant on 1.5 speed, Kelly Cuoco doing flips.
Babe. There's so many movies on YouTube, like especially like old Hong Kong movies that I've watched in their entirety at 1.5 speed, enjoyed it so much more than I would have if I watched it.
And are you like only watching that, or are you also like on your phone while it's at 1.5?
Oh, knowing her,
I'm on my phone. I'm like less distracted if I'm watching it at like a quicker pace because I'm like, truly, there's something like agitating about me sitting through something that's like. I'll never watch The Bachelor. I'm so sorry because I cannot sit through even after commercials like an hour and 30 minutes.
Well, there's three out. Every episode is 13 hours.
Right. So I'm just like, I can't do that. So every single video platform has to have that. That's a general thing.
I disagree. I think that pace is purpose. And I believe that things should be. And I actually am on the record for saying that I would not want anyone to listen to this podcast or Urgent Care at 1.5 speed. Because I know the artists, saying, the artists want to be heard the way that they're speaking.
Well, Joel and I are actually, we record every episode several times. So there's an episode at normal speed, and then there's an episode where we go, and then our episode is a bit.
And that's why you deserve the acclaim. You understand?
Acclaimed podcasters.
Acclaimed podcasters.
I think this is a beautiful segue into I Don't Think So, Honey. Don't you?
Yes.
This is I Don't Think So, Honey. This is our segment where we each take 1 minute to go off on something that's really...
The casual way we say when we describe what I Don't Think So, Honey is go off on something in culture. And then when Mitra comes in here, the deep shame we have about saying the words go off. It's so real.
We go off on something in culture. Matt, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I do.
This is Matt Rogers. I don't think so. And his time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. There is not enough conversation about Miley's new album. And I have been saying for months and months and even years and years that we, our generation, needs a Pat Benatar. And she is giving you our generation's Pat Benatar. And I feel that are people talking about it? I don't think so, honey. Should they be? I'm an emphatic yes. There are so many tracks on there that are so fucking good. This song called High. This song called Angels Like You. Very good. This song called Bad Karma that has Joan Jett on it, the song called Hate Me. There are so many very good songs on here. And guess what? I watched an interview with Miley and she's been through a lot. Her house burnt the fuck down and she says that her voice is actually different and lower than it was before from the trauma of losing a house. So the fact that you're not appreciating her art post-trauma of losing her Malibu home is something that I personally don't think so, honey. Miley Cyrus is one of the defining artists of our generation. Bangers is a Shakespearean musical effort. And I don't think so, honey. If you don't know, now you know.
That's 1 minute. What does this Shakespearean musical effort mean?
It just means good music. You understand?
Okay. Yes, yes.
So you know, Shakespeare is good.
Yes.
When I say it's a Shakespearean musical effort, sort of transferring the quality of what he did to the music, if you understand.
I've been reading like an insane amount of Shakespeare in quarantine.
Oh my God, Mitra. That is so amazing.
No.
But it would be so amazing.
12 seasons of Real House of Atlanta, 6 seasons of Botched.
And Shakespeare.
And Shakespeare on the side.
Oh my God.
And Lear.
Lear.
Yeah, no, Lear. God, I love like Twelfth Night. Oh my God.
I so am Viola.
Natalie Walker says, you know, Housewives is Shakespearean. The pathos is very Shakespeare.
Anyway, okay. I guess you guys aren't a fan of Miley's new album. Jesus.
I love Miley's new. I started it. It's great. Midnight Sky is, I think, one of her best songs.
I started it.
Anyway.
I love the duet with Dua, too. I think the song Prisoner. With Dua, Paid Dust, I think it's good.
Yeah, really good. I mean, it's actually really charged. The video has been described as very charged between them.
Nice.
I can't wait to check it out.
At this time, it's going to be Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey. And Bowen Yang, your time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, books that don't have covers that have bumps on where the title is. The title should have texture on the book cover. Otherwise, I'm not reading it. Do you know what I'm saying?
You want the title, bumpy letters, yeah.
The title has to pop out. It has to feel like I have to be able to reach over on my nightstand when it's dark and feel the cover and go, oh, yes, that's my copy of, you know, Exhalation by Ted Chiang, let's say. But I don't think so many Exhalation by Ted Chiang because, look, the cover doesn't have the bumpy letters. And I need that in order to feel like I'm reading a book. I need the tactile sensation that I'm reading a book. Otherwise, I could be reading a pamphlet or
15
a benefit summary of my health insurance. Mm-hmm. But no, I need my books to have some sort of character to them. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be on the cover because aesthetics are important. And whoever said don't judge a book by its cover was a fool.
And that's 1 minute. Bowen wants more Braille-like letters.
Yes, it is accessible.
Yeah, bump the letters up. Do you guys agree?
That's not what Braille.
I've never thought about it, but then now that it's been brought up, simply have no choice but to stand.
Yeah, I totally agree too. Now that it's been brought up, finally.
Thank you.
What about you, Joel?
Do here?
I agree, I guess.
The letters should be bumpy.
Mm-hmm. The letters should be bumpy.
Like goosebumps. Like you know how books for kids, like they had bumpy letters?
That's what I'm saying. Goosebumps got it right. Harry Potter even. I know we don't like Harry Potter anymore. But
you have to give it up for the bumpy letters.
You have to give it up for the bumpy.
You have to give it up for the bumpy letters.
You can tell what book it is by touch.
Mm. Who wants to go first?
I think Mitra's will probably be better, so I'll go first.
I definitely won't. Because I don't have one.
Sort of signaling an unpreparedness.
I think you're effortless, though. I think you have a lot of improv training.
I was going to ask. I know that this is like for the live shows, but I wanted like sort of a troll bowl.
You wanted a troll bowl?
It's what I miss.
Okay.
Is that allowed?
I actually have a good troll bowl for you.
Okay, great. So do you want to go, Joel, or am I?
I'll go.
Okay, so Joel, this is going to be Joel's I Don't Think So, Honey.
Or should Mitra go?
I think the anticipation of the Troll Bowl is something I want the audience to sit with a little bit longer. So that being said, this is Joel Kim Booster's I Don't Think So, Honey, and his time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, media, including COVID storylines in your shows and commercials. We do not want to see it. I do not need to step inside the world of Law & Order SVU and see Detective Mariska Hargitay wearing a mask. Because they only wear masks for about 5 seconds, and then they take them off anyways, and they are not social distancing. I Don't Think So, Honey, the detectives on SVU not standing 6 feet apart while they're at work doing their jobs. I also Don't Think So, Honey, commercials getting in on the COVID guidelines of it all. I Don't Think So, Honey, RuPaul telling me that I can pick up my Old Navy curbside. I don't want to be reminded that I have to pick up my Old Navy curbside by RuPaul himself. I Don't Think So, Honey. I Don't Think So, Honey, commercials telling me that they care about me and my family when they clearly do not, and they're just trying to sell me goods and wares. I Don't Think So, Honey. I do not want to be reminded of COVID. I can suspend my disbelief.
And that's 1 minute.
I agree. Couldn't agree more. Hey there. It's Alex.
Hey sis.
Hey sis. It's Christmas.
It's Christmas.
It's the worst.
But yes, hey there. It's a holiday is the energy.
Hello, friend. It is Christmas.
Yes. And I have to say this. I watch Mariska Hargitay to escape.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I watched Mariska Hargitay to be taken away to another world, you know?
To be transported.
Yeah, to be transported to another time and place.
Disney-like experience of watching Law & Order SVU.
That's what I want when I watch My Queen.
That's what I want.
That's what I want. That's beautiful. Thank you, Joel.
I would say, and that's really a read on Grey's Anatomy, which is not done well in this episode of Las Culturistas. Grey's Anatomy did not do well today.
Mm-mm. I hope they recover.
Me too. Hope Ellen Pompeo is okay with this. Take. All right. And so this is the fucking moment where we say to Mitra Johari that it is the Troll Bowl. I Don't Think So, Honey. Are you ready?
Okay.
Your Troll Bowl topic is cowboys. And your time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Cowboys. First of all, ew, you look like you fucking stink, ugly ass. Also, you all probably you are not taking care of your skin. You look old as fuck. It's sad. Disgusting. I Don't Think So, Honey. Cowboys. Riding horse? Disgusting. Sad. Those guys stink too. So you can smell the screen from 1,000 miles away. I don't think so, honey. Cowboy. Exclude women, okay? How about cowgirl? Ever heard of it? I don't think so, honey. Cowboys. Neck problems much. Ew, sad. Disgusting. I don't think so, honey. That hat smells. Ew.
Stinker and a half.
I don't think so, honey. Like little shoes with like the knives on them or whatever. The little spinny knives.
Those guys. Sucks. 15 seconds.
I don't think so, honey. Whatever your drawl is, sad. I'm not interested. If you're going to have an accent, make it British.
5 seconds.
I don't think so, honey. Cowboy, you guys are old. I don't think so, honey. Cowboy.
And that's 1 minute dragged to filth literally by their own horse and Mitra. Drag them.
Wow, I miss the feeling of completely blacking out and saying the dumbest things I've ever said in my life.
Oh my god, dragged out of here by their boots
with knives
out of town.
What are those called?
Spurs.
Okay.
If anyone was going to know the meaning of spurs, it was going to be Joel.
It was always Joel.
It was always going to be you. Spurs. I feel like you'd rock some spurs.
Yeah.
I'll give you some for Christmas.
In sort of like Western gear, Joel.
Actually, Joel, I already got you a Christmas gift.
Oh, wow.
Mitra, I'm going to order you an Etsy Christmas gift that's inspired by Joel's.
Wow.
Because now, actually, do you ever do this? You ever find like a good like little like novelty gift idea, and it's just now it's going to be your thing,
Matt. Literally, yes, you got one of mine.
As big as my ass. What was it?
I need a wine that's as big as my ass. Yeah,
it's one of my favorite cups. It actually is more of a display piece.
It is a display piece because the glitter, the sticky glitter on the outside can't endure being washed.
Oh, but it also has like fused to my countertop. So it's now just like part of it. And I love it. I'm like, it can't move.
I need a drink the size of my ass.
I need a drink the size of my ass. And I was like, did you craft make these? And she's like, no. But you could have. And that there's a power in that too.
Yeah, that I have the vibe of glitter bespoke wine cup.
Yes. I was like, there was no doubt in my mind that you stone these tights.
Aw.
Aw. Listen, I also, we forgot to say congrats to both on the release of Big Mouth.
Oh.
Oh my God. Thanks. A great week.
It's only the funniest show on television.
Truly brilliant. Truly genius. And such inspired casting, honestly.
Tandy? Inspired casting, indeed. Tandy Newton.
I mean, well, Josie?
Josie Tota is the moment. She is so good.
Killed it. She's absolutely killing Saved by the Bell, too. We've said it before. We'll say it again. Yeah. Jane Krakowski Incredible. In 30 Rock vibes.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. I said it.
I haven't watched yet.
You must.
It's really good.
It's really, really good, Josie. Funny.
I'm excited to watch.
So everyone out there, all the readers have homework. And here's the thing, readers. There's a twist because you're going to hear from us tomorrow. Yeah. Check your inboxes or wherever you get your podcast because the Las Culturistas have a little bit of a Christmas gift for you.
Should we announce the cadence of the gift right now or no?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
That's the mystery.
That's the mystery. But tomorrow we're dropping a fun little episode.
Mm-hmm. And then follow the crumbs from there.
Follow the crumbs from there,
like
honey.
Santa would. You know how Santa follows the crumbs from house to house? That's sort of how that's canonically how he does his thing. we all know the story of Christmas.
We all know. Listen to the episode tomorrow. Listen to Urgent Care. Watch Big Mouth on 1.5 speed on your supported devices.
I know. Hope so. Please watch it at normal speed.
Please watch it at normal speed.
Yeah, I know.
Speed.
You're right.
The way God intended. Speed. Joel and Mitra, any sort of words to the readers as they head into the holidays? Because there's a big holidays coming up. And I think that they would love to hear sort of what you had to say.
Jesus is king.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If I had to give anyone some advice this holiday season, I would say stop drinking water. It's not good for you. call your family, but only if they have already sent your gift. And watch Three Busy Debras.
Watch Three Busy Debras.
And that is the point where we sort of segue into the song.
Okay.
All I want for Christmas is you. All the lights are shining brightly everywhere. And it's all the children. That's an odd place to stop, but that's where we're going to stop. And if you want to hear the rest of that, listen to Mariah Carey.
Wow.
Bye.
Bye.